Reading from Narada Bhakti Sutra 82. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Guna Mahatnya Ashakti Rupa Ashakti Puja Ashakti Smarana Ashakti Dasya Ashakti Shakya Ashakti Vatsalya Ashakti Kanta Ashakti Atma Navedanam Ashakti Tatmaya Ashakti Parama Viraha Ashakti Rupa Ekadha Api Akarashaka Bhavati. Although devotional service is one, it becomes manifested in 11 forms of attachment. Attachment to the Lord's glorious qualities, to His beauty, to worshiping Him, to remembering Him, to serving Him, to reciprocating with Him as a friend, to caring for Him as a parent, to dealing with Him as a lover, to surrendering one's whole self to Him, to being absorbed in thoughts of Him, and to experiencing separation from Him. This last is the supreme attachment. Purport. Narada is taught that bhakti is the best of all processes for realizing truth, and he has described the rules and regulations leading to perfection. He has told us that we have to experience bhakti for ourselves and that it is highest bliss. Now he indicates the liberality of bhakti by listing the various ways one may render devotional service. Omegana timarandasya gyananjana shalakaya daksuran militam yena tasmai si gurave namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Greetings from Vrindavan. This is the Narada Bhakti Sutras. And we are towards the end, and it's mentioning the ways in which we can practically apply what you learn, how you practice devotional service. And it's a couple of wonderful points are mentioned here. One is that there's a core base of devotional service which manifests in various ways. Basically here, it's going to be mentioned in the purport. He's just mentioning basically various ways in which you can practice devotional service leading up to a spontaneous relationship where you can be attached to serving the Lord in a particular way, in a particular relationship. But the core basis is service. It's one. You're trying to please the Lord. You're trying to, and pleasing means to serve in various ways. So just as we can become pleased in various ways, then the Supreme Lord can be pleased in various ways. So it's the core, the basis of all relationships with Krishna is service. And there's various ways to serve. Therefore, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Prabhupada speaks in his own commentary, Nectar of Devotion, that there's one principle, is to remember Krishna and never forget him. Basically, the way the process of bhakti works is that when we focus our consciousness on Krishna, it draws out our soul, which is attachment to Krishna. And the efficacy of a process is the degree in which it can absorb us, absorb our minds in Krishna in various manifestations. So the spiritual master finds the ways and means, Prabhupada says, to engage the devotee in devotional service. And that's what the acharya does. That's what the teacher does. Even if you look at Prabhupada and how he organized the movement, he organized the movement in one sense. There are basic principles of Krishna consciousness, but which ones to emphasize depended on the people who are coming and what their nature was and how best they can be absorbed. I mean, Prabhupada said, I read on a letter in his room, the perfection of Krishna consciousness is to sit down in Mayapur and chant 64 rounds a day. But he didn't prescribe that to everyone because people did not have yet the maturity, they didn't have the maturity or the maturity or devotion to do that. So, he created many ways. And we have to be very, very thoughtful in our devotional service and consultation with others, how we can best stay absorbed. That's my meditation personally, myself, is I look at who I am, and I try to figure out how I can best stay absorbed in devotional service. Of course, as much as possible, I want to engage in what's called Sarup Siddhi Bhakti. Sarup Siddhi Bhakti is the activity of bhakti, which is bhakti itself. It doesn't have to be transformed into bhakti, but it's bhakti itself, the holy name, chanting and hearing. In the Bhagavad Gita, verse 7.1, which is the verse that probably Prabhupada spoke on more than any other verse in the Bhagavad Gita, it's also the beginning of the bhakti section. It gives that essence of bhakti. Mayasakta manoparta yogam yunjan marastaya asamsayam samagrama yataya sasitatra. Just hear from me, with mind attached to me, with full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, and then you will know me free from doubt. That's the process. Hearing, it begins in hearing, because from hearing comes the knowledge and understanding how you can become absorbed in Krishna. From hearing comes the attraction for Krishna that will inspire us to focus our mind on Krishna. And hearing about Krishna is itself Krishna, which is absorbing. And the sense of hearing itself is the most absorbing of all the senses. But so you just hear, and from what hearing, then what happens? Full consciousness of me. From hearing about Krishna comes full consciousness of Krishna. And from that full consciousness of Krishna comes attachment to Krishna. And then from attachment to Krishna then Tesham Satati Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, when you're focused on Krishna with attachment, then in that love, Krishna Dadami Bhuti Yoga, he reciprocates on how you can come back to him. So this is the process that he's recommending here, and the liberality is described. And liberality means there's no hard and fixed rules. There are many, many ways, and I think Prabhupada's expertise as an acharya was just creating so many ways in which people can be engaged according to their proclivities, according to their nature. At the same time, creating a program meant to absorb them. Just like we have a morning program. That morning program that Prabhupada gave, it's something he designed. It's not, this is the morning program. It's something he designed. He looked at the people, he looked at the circumstance, he looked at the ashram, how to keep people absorbed. And it's actually quite rigorous. In the beginning, they used to call it the ISKCON sandwich, because you'd have the program in the morning and the program at the evening. Here in Vrindavan, Prabhupada wanted us to go to three programs a day. He said, because Vrindavan is meant for bhajan. So, the morning program. So, it's initially, there wasn't Tulsi Puja in ISKCON. There wasn't Guru Puja in ISKCON. At one time, I remember I was, when Hari Kesh was visiting his parents and starting a center in Long Island, very, very, he was so dynamic. I remember, he introduced Tulsi Puja. There was no Tulsi Puja. And then Prabhupada introduced daily Guru Puja. I remember when Prabhupada introduced Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevalava Bhakti Sadma, there was no Guru Puja. He somehow felt that at this time, et cetera, that people could be absorbed in the way. So the liberality is to suit, there's a goal, there's an objective, and the objective is how to absorb people in Krishna consciousness. That's the objective, because then they'll advance. And there's so many subtleties involved, from initiative to discipline, which are both required to keep people engaged in spiritual life. So in the Bhagavatam, there's four verses that are the core of the Bhagavatam. And the first two verses, this is in the second canto, the ninth chapter. Krishna is explaining to Lord Brahma. There's four verses that are the core of the whole Bhagavatam. And they're expanded, just like even in Prabhupada's purports, it's expanded. It's still the Bhagavatam. I read it in the Bhagavatam. It could be the purports. The Bhagavatam is expanded. So the basic idea is there are three basic categories of truth. Three categories of philosophy. Every philosophy has a conception of reality and a means to affirm it. Conception of reality means to, that's metaphysics, it's an epistemology. Then it has a means to understand reality.
don't know if you exactly say it's ethics, but that's part of it. And then there's a priyojana. There's a description of the result of realizing reality. What it looks like, what it feels like, what that goal is. So the four verses describe what's called sambandhigyan, knowledge and understanding of reality, abhideyagyan, the means to realize reality, and priyojanyan, the result of doing so. So when it describes the means of realizing the absolute reality, it says one should search for this. And what is this? The previous verse actually described the priyojana. What's the priyojana? The priyojana is prema. Prema, love of Godhead. And love of Godhead means that you see God everywhere. That's the goal. The goal is you become free from illusion. And what's the illusion? The illusion is that there's something separate from God. And when you attain the goal, and you actually are able to experience God everywhere, that the result, the goal, is that you understand the truth and you experience the truth. And what's the experience of the truth called? It's called prema, because the experience of the truth is a relationship with the truth. And it's called prema. So what is the means? The means is we should search for prema, because any means, any practice starts with a goal. The goal is prema. And what's the means? The means is we should search for this. Indirectly, directly, anywhere, everywhere. We should search for this. That's the means. The means is set your mind on this goal. Prema Pumartha Mahan. There is nothing of more value than praying. It begins with Shraddha. Shraddha is faith. And ultimately, faith is not just an intellectual concept, I believe or I don't believe. What faith is an experience of the mercy of Srimati Radharani. That's what faith is. It's an experience. Experience of what? Experience of God. An experience of our relationship with God. Experience of what little love we have in God. That gives us the conviction that this is the sublimity that we should aspire for. That's what faith is. Faith is where you trust sublimity lies. So our faith is our trust that sublimity lies in God and our relationship with God. So that's the beginning. It begins with that faith. And that faith matures to the level of sadhu sangha, that I should be with the people who have this objective. That's how good this is, this experience. Then it goes to bhajana kriya. I should adopt the practices. I should adopt the practices. And what is that practice? And that's the point that's here. What is that practice? The practice is focusing the attention on God. This is described in the Bhakti Sandarbha. It describes that to cure a disease, you have to find the cause of the disease and then reverse it. So he said, in the same sense, the disease is ishad upetasya, ishad upetasya. We have turned from God. And that doesn't mean a physical turn. It means a turn in consciousness, a turn in mood. that we somehow didn't want God, and we somehow didn't want to be who we are, which is in and if you don't want God, then you don't want who you are. And who are you? We're servants of God. You don't want God, then you don't want to be who you are. And from that, we come under a certain type of illusion, a bewilderment, which forces us to accept an identity separate from God, which is the enjoyer and controller. And from that arises all duality and fear. But what's the cause? Ishadu pe tasya. So what's the cure? Turning towards God. That's called worship. We turn towards God. And from turning towards God and focusing our consciousness on God, then we again have that experience of relationship with God. So this is the process, and he's discussing the whole Narada Bhakti Sutra. This is the process. And it's one thing. It's one thing. It's turning to God. It means it's wanting to be what we are, which is a servant of God. It's wanting God. It's actually wanting reality. It's wanting the supreme absolute truth. And it's wanting to be what we are, which is part of that truth. So, in the consciousness, we turn towards God. It's one thing. Now, how you do that depends on who you are materially, and it depends on your potential spiritually. And that's what's mentioned here. Borijan Prabhu, who's an infinite oasis of wisdom. But I just can say anything because some people are there from New Jersey. Allegra's here. She's personally listening to the class and spending some time in Vrindavan. Did you ever meet Borijan? Would you like to? I think I'll arrange that you can meet him and his wife. That would be really good. His wife is amazing too. She just gave people like her classes the best at the retreat. She spoke on Sridhan Kaili Komadi. It's translated. So one time in a voyage on, it's very interesting. I think I told some of you before, is when you meet him, generally, he kind of has a way of kind of shifting your consciousness into something deeper. So when I go in there, sometimes I don't know what he's going to ask. So one time he was doing this. He asked Radhanath Swami, he asked me, he asked somebody, what is your taste in Krishna consciousness? And then he made a very important point. He said, your taste in Krishna consciousness is your door to the spiritual world. Because your taste in Krishna consciousness is how you will most be absorbed. And we're individuals. We have different shapes. That's why, in one sense, it's good to have many different people who take the role of spiritual master. Because there are different lids for different pots. It's just simple. Different ways that people, different perfection manifests in different ways. So, anyway, here it's indicating that there are different ways. And each of these ways also has exemplars. because another very important part of the path of bhakti is to have exemplars. Because the main way in which you are socialized, I don't know if that's the right word, is by the role models that you have. We want to change in some way. We want to change. We want to become, we may have material proclivities, but we want to be, we want to change the consciousness. We want to be spiritual. So we need people whom we can identify with, admire, and want to be like. As Voltaire said, that which we appreciate gradually belongs to us. That's why there are different churches also. Even if you look in Christianity, there are different churches. Because people have different role models, different conceptions, and perfection can manifest in many, many different ways. It's just like you have different shapes of metal, and if you put them in fire, they become heat and light. So they're one, they're heat and light, but they have different shapes. So it's the same thing with prema. It becomes the same, but there's different shapes. And you may be attracted to different shapes, materially, or even spiritually. Because in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it describes that there are different spiritual psychologies. There's not one mind when you become pure. They give two examples. One mind is called the volcano in the ocean, and one is called the pebble in the pond. So the pebble in the pond is the psychology, and it's at a pure state, where any little thing explodes externally. So you have these sadhus that are Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They're very expressive, everything. I'm not saying it was like that, but I remember when Krishna Das Babaji came, we put on with young children a Rasa Leela for him. Remember, very nice young man, 9 years old, from the ghettos of Baltimore, played Radharani. And then some other guy from LA. And it was actually, it was pretty interesting in the courtyard. And somehow, I don't know, he came and watched it. And he was sitting and he's going, hey, Krishna, Hare Krishna. He was rolling. I don't say that's a psychology. I can't read it. But then there's the volcano in the ocean. And so many things explode, but you don't see it externally. And certainly, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and Prabhupada were like volcanoes in the ocean. And they were very, very conscious about that because they were exemplars and they didn't want people to think Krishna consciousness was cheap. So exemplars are necessary. So there's exemplars, and there's exemplars of practices. I'm just thinking, you know, of Padasev and a humble service. I remember Jayananda Prabhu. I met him when I first came to Krishna consciousness, and so humble and servant. And I remember the devotees that were with him and became like him. There was one devotee named Kritikarma. He was here in Vrindavan. Advaita, remember Advaita? Advaita's a big professor. The person that inspired him in Krishna consciousness, when he came, he even talks about it to this day, was Kritikarma. He was a person that would serve 24 hours a day. And he was the vice president and the bhakti leader, and he took them to the Jamuna twice a day for swimming and kirtan. But he was the one that took out the garbage. He just worked. you can think in the Bhakti Center, different people, you know, different people, just worked and worked and worked and worked, the service attitude. And Sridhar Swami, my godbrother, wonderful Vaishnav, he was the association of Jayananda. And then you look at Vishnu John. I remember when I first met Vishnu John, I was in the basement of the Brooklyn Temple on Henry Street, and I was coming up the stairs, and there was a very nice devotee named Brajananda, I think his name. Such a humble, nice guy. And Vishnu John was walking down the stairs, and they introduced me. As I was coming up, he said, "Oh, Vishnu John, you know, this is," they said, "Oh," he said, this is Dr. Dennis." And Vishnu John said, "Hi, Vishnu John." And I swear it was like waves. I almost fainted. He was so charismatic. But who are the followers of Vishnu John? Iendra, Dina Bandhu, Indradyumna Swami. The student or disciple takes the mood of the guru. There's different moods in devotional service. He's talking about the liberality. There's different practices. There's different moods. There's different tastes. But it's all the expression of one thing. The mood of service. That I am an object for the pleasure of God's desire. And what is authority is not my ego. What is authority is the will of God. And I'm happy with that, because that is the position of love. The position of love is when the authority for your actions are the desires of someone besides yourself. But at the same time, within that, there's a infinite individuality of how you can fulfill that desire. So, that taste, we have to look for the taste. And all devotional service is one. It becomes manifest. And what is devotion? What is bhakti? Bhakti is best expressed in seva. Which means loving responsiveness to the Lord through the faculties of the mind, body, and words. Loving responsiveness. Focus on God and a desire to please God through the faculties of the mind, bodies, and words. Iha yasya hareer dasye karmana manasagira niklas tu abhaptas jivanmukta. Iha yasya hareer dasye service. So it becomes manifest in 11 forms of attachment. But the supreme attachment is Vipralamba Bhav, when there is the mood of deep, deep separation. Which is the really only really found in, I'm searching for this point that I read someplace and I can't find it. I'd love to share it right now. Shouldn't even said that. Deep separation. And that deep separation is the closest union with God. Because in separation, the object of our love, which is before us, comes within the heart. It's sometimes described that this is why Krishna left Vrindavan. He was at Prem Sarovara, which is near Sanket. That's between Nandagram and Barsana. That's between Nandagram and Barsana. And they meet, and Radha is sitting on Krishna's lap. A bumblebee is disturbing them. Krishna asks Radha to chase the bumblebee away, asks Madhu Mangal to chase the bumblebee away. He takes off his shawl or dupatta, chases the bee away, and then announces that Madhu is gone. Madhu means bee, Madhu means Krishna. Radharani, in a very intense state of love, just hears that Krishna is gone. And breaks into tears. And then Krishna sees that although she was sitting on his lap, now he has entered into her heart deeply. And that's Vipralamba Bhav. There's been nothing to suggest that Narada is presenting a theoretical treatise. Thus, we should not conclude our reading of the Narada Bhakti Sutras without deciding how we shall render practical service to Krishna. Once a college student came to visit Srila Prabhupada and told him that he had already read the Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada asked, "So what is your conclusion?" The student admitted that he had not reached any particular conclusion after his study of the Gita. Prabhupada explained that the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita is that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that one should give up all other processes of religion and serve Him. An intelligent reader of the Gita should know this and take up devotional service. Similarly, here at the end of the Bhakti Sutras, Narada is telling us how we may serve the Lord. Of course, the rasas with Krishna for the liberated devotees cannot be taken up arbitrarily. Our service to Krishna should be guided by our spiritual master. He will help us to serve according to our psychophysical nature in a way that is most effective for our purification. But from the beginning, we can at least know that Lord Krishna is served by his liberated devotees in many ways, and that our perfection will be to discover how we are meant to serve him eternally to our heart's content. A devotee appreciates the many services the Lord's devotees engage in, and he studies how to become perfect in his particular relationship with the Lord. Narada's 11 ways of bhakti appear to be a combination of the 9 processes of bhakti taught by Prahlad Maharaj and the same 5 main rasas with Lord Krishna described by Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Examples of devotees who achieve perfection by practicing the 9 processes of bhakti are, I'll say them in your mind, you'll see if you can know. Hearing, Parikshit, Kirtan, Sukadev, Smarnam, remembering, Prahlad, Padasevana, serving lotus feet, Lakshmi Dev, Archanam, worship, Marj Prithu, Vandanam, prayers, Akrura, by becoming a servant, Hanuman, by befriending the Lord, Arjuna, by Atmanivedam, offering everything, Bali Maharaj. As for the 5 rasas, they are 1, adoration of Krishna, Shanta, servitude, Dasya, friendship, Sakya, Parentalev, Vatsalya, Conjugal love, Madhurya. Prominent examples of devotees in each of these rasas are follows: Shantaras, Kumaras, Dasyaras, Hanuman, and Krishna's various servants in Dwarka and Mathura. Sakya, Sridham, Sudham, Stoka. Krishna's parents in Vatsalya, the gopis of Vrindavan, and the queens in Madhurya. All liberated devotees are situated in absolute transcendence. And what one devotee does not hanker for the perfection of another. That's so simple. There may be a gradation of intimacy. It's going to be explained here, the conjugal ras with Krishna has parental affection in it, obviously. It has friendship. It has servitude. It has adoration, shanta, but it also has a certain feeling of intimacy that's not in the others. So in that sense, it's the most intimate, forceful of the relationships you can have for Krishna. But if you're a friend of Krishna, you never want to be the lover. If you're a parent, you never want to be the lover. If you're a friend, you never want to be the parent. So they're perfect in themselves. But the Vaishnavacharyas have analyzed the rasas to show that there's progression in affection and a diminishing in feelings of awe and reverence towards the Lord from Dasya to Madhurya. Because awe and reverence, it's wonderful. But at the same time, in that type of love, there's something external to love, which is a sense of duty and an obligation that creates a type of fear of transgressing certain types of etiquette. It also requires a certain distance. So it's not as forceful as the other types of love. All the qualities of the other rasas are fully contained in conjugal love. As for love and separation, which Narada mentions as the 11th and highest stage of attachment, that was especially demonstrated by the gopis of Vrindavan and by Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya's demonstration of viraha, or transcendental anguish and separation, is the highest of all possible expressions of love of Godhead. Because it requires separation and union, as Srila Gaura-Govindamard said, the embankment of separation, like a river requires two embankments to flow forcefully. So the river of praying requires an embankment of union, an embankment of separation. And in higher relationships with Krishna, both are always manifest. Even when the gopis are with Krishna, they have apprehension that he may leave. And even when he leaves, they're in union with them in his heart. So, although there's a progression in intimacy in the rasas from Dasya to Madhurya, and all are based on the ecstasy of service to the Lord, Krishnadas Kaviraj writes, love for Krishna has this one unique effect. It imbues superiors, equals, and inferiors with the spirit of service to Lord Krishna. Krishna's friends in Vrindavan feel pure paternal affection for him, yet they too worship his lotus feet in a spirit of servitude. Krishna's mother and father sometimes chastise the Lord, thinking that he is their little son, yet they always think of themselves as his servants. Krishna's father, Nanda Maharaj, once said, may our minds be attached to the lotus feet of your Lord Krishna. May our tongues chant his holy name, and may our bodies be prostrate before him. CCRD 650. Even the gopis of Vrindavan regard themselves as Krishna's maidservants. Srimati Radharani prays, O my Lord, reveal yourself to your maidservant, who is very much aggrieved by your absence. Bhagavatam 10.33.9. Being a servant of the Lord is so auspicious and blissful that even Lord Krishna himself is descended as Lord Chaitanya to accept the emotions and form of his servant. Therefore, all devotees can best deliver their loving relationship with Krishna by becoming the servant of other Vaishnava devotees. We fix ourselves in steadfast and spontaneous loving service to the Lord's devotee. Krishna will reveal himself to us, indicate new and intimate ways in which we may serve him. Are there any questions? Would anyone like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's this? Govardhan?
No, Nandulal.
Nandulal. Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
My question is that, you know, the nine devotional services, and once if I am not wrong, you mentioned the darshan or the servitude is in all the processes. Am I correct?
Well, when they say dasya as one of the nine items of devotional service, it's not just indicating a mood of service, but it's indicating a particular consciousness that one is abusing as Lord's personal servant. In other words, it's a consciousness that one develops. You're just in that mood always that you're the Lord's servant. Not just, and while the others, the servitude in Madhurya, the servitude in friendship, but this is actually the rasa of service. A particular mood that one adopts. Okay?
Thank you, Mara.
Anybody else like to say hello? Yeah. Another question? Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Thank you. Good.
It was a really wonderful class.
You know, Gail, because I can reveal to you, my God, am I struggling today? But anyway.
That always works, Maharaj. Every time you struggle, it comes out to be a really great class.
Gail, you sometimes represent soul too to me. Thank you, Krishna, for telling me the class is okay.
It was really great.
Thank you, Gail. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Bajrade.
Bajrade, Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, we'll end today. Much.